We'll be talking mostly about Thessalonians today, the scripture that Cal read. Especially that last verse you read, verse 8, about being kind. You'll see that on the front of our bulletin as a nurse kindly cares for their children. 1 Thessalonians is a target-rich environment for today. We've got some great places to talk about. Talk about flattery, about pleasing mortals, about treachery, about weakness, about greed, about all these other things. Wow, what can we talk about? We can talk about politics. We can talk about flattery. We can talk about impure motives. We can talk about all sorts of things. That's politics. We can talk about the economic situation, the time. Well, talk about impure motives. Talk about trickery. Talk about all sorts of things. Economics certainly doesn't talk about. We can also talk about the first part, where it says, we've said the gospel. You know, gospel is literally the good news. Talking about good news in the midst of great opposition. Does it feel like that sometimes? Does it feel like that today when you look around and you say, where's all the people and all the pews? Is it hard to hear the good news in the face of great opposition? All the folks that voted not to have service this morning for one reason or another? Is it hard to hear the good news in the face of all the politics and all the attack ads and all the scare stories and all the uncertainty? Is it hard to hear the good news in the face of great opposition? Is it hard to hear good news in the face of all the economic times where the Dow Jones keeps tumbling down by hundreds of points? Has any of you looked at your retirement and mutual funds? Oh, sit down before you do that. Is it hard to hear the good news in the midst of great opposition? Yeah, betcha. Good news in the face of opposition. Here's some good news. We paid off our mortgage. Everybody else is defaulting on their mortgage. We pays our off. Ha ha, good news in the face of opposition. There are good news anywhere that we look for it. And there's also bad news anywhere we look for it. Today's scripture talks about pleasing God and pleasing mortals. If we seek to please mortals, we are doomed. Doomed, I think. Because all we do is run around from one person to another trying to please this person or that person, trying to be nice and trying to go this way and that way, and people veto and say, well, this one person or that. We go, if we focus on pleasing God, we will be blessed. I tell you, God's got great things in mind for Goodyear Heights. It's up to us whether we want to do it. I can't tell you how many times I heard of people watering in their hands, telling me about how they're not, where's the roof money, when are we going to get the roof fixed, the roof's not going to be fixed, there's things going to the roof, for the roof, the roof, the roof. Hailstorm. And it's called to the insurance, and the money comes in, the roof is fixed. Where did all that fear and hand-wringing went? We started a great program, one I'm very proud of, very pleased. It gives me a reason to get up today. Community free dinners where we come and we say, come on to the community. And you know, we're not just giving a handout, we're giving a piece of ourselves. Because we're saying, not just come and we'll give you food and go on down the line. We say, come and sit down with us and talk to us and let us talk to you and get to know you as a person. We got friends and neighbors and members and the poor all together in community around a common table. Wait, you should have heard the stuff I had when we started that stuff. I tell you, you wonder why I stand out in the hall, because you know I don't miss the dinners. I had to do that because people were sure that there would be hooligans running through the church, destroying everything. And I said, no, it's not going to be like that. You give a free dinner, you don't know who's going to come. I actually had to get chains and lock doors to calm down the folks that thought for sure the church would be destroyed if we invited the poor in. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll stand out there by the door as greeter slash bouncer, whatever's needed. And I will make sure that no one goes crazy running around the church. Okay, maybe that's okay. And then I get this, who's going to pay for that dinner? Who's paying for all that dinner, all that money? And I said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Last week we got a check for $1,300. Can you say turkey for November? I think so. Every day's a choice. Every day's a choice between pleasing mortals and pleasing God. And strange it may be, pleasing mortals is the place to go and mess yourself up. Pleasing God is what is blessed. God isn't finished with us. God still has great things for us. It's up to us if we're going to do it or not. It's the difference between being nice and being kind. Being nice, like I told the kids, that's saying something. That's watching out for other people's feelings, and that's mostly not doing something. Oh, don't talk about politics. Be nice. Be nice now. Don't talk about that. Be nice. Be nice is things you don't do. And it has to, the way you judge it is by other people's feelings. And the feelings can go all over the place. What could some people take as a joke, another person could be you're a mean person and you're not being nice. Be nice. You know, nice is not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. Not the word nice. Check RSV, King James Version, and New International Version. The word nice is not in there. Anybody can be nice. That is probably the basics of community and citizenship, to be nice. But we are commanded to be kind. Proverbs 19 tells us it's our job to be kind. And we look at Thessalonians, it talks about being kind. And it talks about in our gospel to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's way beyond nice. Being kind, according to the Thessalonians, is to give parts of ourselves to others. To put ourselves into it. Not just the surface, not just the hello, how are you, nice stuff. We got to go beyond that and be kind, actually helping people out of our hearts and out of ourselves. And put ourselves on the line to go to. Dinners are like that. I think anytime we're outside, we're at the gazebo, we're out with the community, anytime we're doing things we don't need, we're working on being kind. We're doing God's work. Thessalonians, I came to you appeal in the gospel, not by trickery or deceit or by greed. Wow, that got me. Did that get you? That got me. And not about politics, not about economics. Although those, you could probably point to a lot of examples there. It got to me about what I hear about getting new members and getting here. We need some young people in here to do the work. We need some young families in here to contribute and do some money. And we need some people in here to sing the choir. Guess what, folks? They don't need to save our church. They don't need to pay our bills. They don't need to sing our songs. And if we appeal to them for those reasons, we're seeking to please men ourselves, and we're seeking by impure motives. We're seeking out of greed. We're seeking for something. And God will not bless that. But I tell you, in times like these, people put their faith in their house, their mutual fund, the government. They're going to need someone to tell them about eternal values, not just market value. They're going to need someone to tell them about what love is, not what profit gains. They're going to need a place where you don't have to buy a ticket to come, where everyone is welcome, regardless of ability to pay. We're that place. They need us. We do not need them. They need us. As long as we follow what God has called us to do, when we seek to please God by serving others, when we seek to please God, they need us. They need God as we can give it. I spend a lot of my time with sick people, with elderly people. That's fine. I enjoy them. Good times. I like talking to them. One of the things we talk about a lot is death. I talked to one person, and they're saying, you know, every time I'm sick, every time I have a spell, I got to think, am I going to call 911, or is this the time? And they actually decide whether or not to die, or to call 911 one more time. You got to love that. And I talk to a lot of people about rehab. A month goes by, someone doesn't talk to me about going to rehab and about whether that's a good idea. And we talk about different rehabs and about that. And you know, and rehab's tough to do. You can just ask Jane. She's I saw Jane yesterday, and she says, you know, I just had 2 hours of therapy, and they're coming back again this afternoon. It's a Saturday. You think I'd have the day off? I go, no, not at every shop. No day off here. But she wants to do it because she wants to get better. Rehab is tough. It's difficult. It's tough as difficult. There's another choice. Have you ever been to a hospital lately? I mean, within the last 5, 10, 20 years. You can't get any rest there. That is the least restful place of anywhere on the earth. There are bells, there are lights, there are buzzers, there are people constantly talking. There are people coming in and out. You usually got a roommate, something going on, a TV's blaring. Oh man, you gotta go home and get rested up from the hospital. But I wanna tell you, there is one place in the hospital that's not like that at all. It's a wonderful place. I'm gonna try to spend more time there. It's quiet. You can't see any medical equipment. I think it's there, but you can't see it. People talk in whispers. I think they got sound things. There's never announcements over the loudspeakers. No one bothers you about this test or this things and all that. It's in Summa, city, old city hospital. It's a hospice wing. It's the nicest place you ever want to be. It's also the last place you'll ever be. It's great. It's great for folks to have that place to get the care and the comfort they need at their final hours or final days of life. It's nice. It's very nice. And it leads to death. The other choice is rehab. It is not nice at all. You got to work. There's equipment everywhere. You got to buy new equipment. You got to have this equipment. You got to take home that equipment. You got to be walking. You got to be doing all sorts of things you don't want to do so you can eventually do what you want to do, so you can regain health. I talk to people about those choices all the time, and I'm not just talking about the sick. I'm not just talking about the age. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about congregations. We make that choice every time. Every vote, every decision, every dollar we spend, we can spend for hospice or rehab. We can spend to make ourselves comfortable, to buy us a little more time, to give us some peace and quiet, to make everything all nice. Or we can make the hard choice and spend it out of love of neighbors and to please God. We can spend it on tough things that we don't want, but we know we need. And we can work at it and get better. Now, individuals make different choices all along, and I'm always with them whichever way they go. I might tell them one way or the other, whatever I think. There's one guy, I go in and I tell him, you're cheating on your exercises. I saw that. Well, he decided to do the exercise, so I think it's appropriate for me to point out he's cheating. And I said, you know, they're not going to let me come visit you if you don't do your exercises when I'm here. And he takes it in good stride. Same thing with church members. They decide whether you're hospice or rehab. And we make that decision all the time. Sometimes we vote one way, sometimes we vote the other way. Whether they're going to be a nice, quiet, easy, holy death, or whether we're going to get to work and do some sweat and get some pain and do things we don't see why we have to do rehab. First Presbyterian Church, you may have heard them. They're up the road. Dr. Mark Rupert's there. We were in seminary together. We were talking at the minister's meeting. Spent $9,000 on church doctors. I am in the wrong business, or the wrong end of the business. Made a big old thick report. And Reeford, who is Reeford Nash out of Barberton, who is supposedly the anti-Christie, I don't know what that means, and said, what do you know, what did you learn that you didn't know? What did they tell you that you didn't know? Probably the best question I ever heard about a study. And Mark said, you know, I thought it was a good idea to have one blended worship service with everyone together. But the consultant said that I should have two. One traditional and one flat-out crazy praise contemporary service. You know what I said? Mark, I would have told you that for $900. The second choice is a lot tougher. It's rehab. You got to give 5 years to it. You got to give the same amount of resources and staffing that you do to the traditional service. What does that mean? That means the same amount of pastor charge, same amount of staff time, same amount of musician time, the same amount of organ time. We bought an organ for this service. It is great. It is wonderful. It is lovely. I love listening to the organ. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Money well spent for the traditional service. Do the same thing for the contemporary. We need a visual organ for this one. We need to play to our eyes like we play to our ears. Rehab. It's not easy. Decisions are with us every day. Session will be making some of them on Tuesday, and we'll go one way or the other as we're. And I'm with you either way, just like I am individually. I'm with you either way. But as much as I can, and as much as my vote counts, I'm voting to please God with rehab.